Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. AMP's Do Your Thing scholarship scheme aims to help people realise their dreams with the assistance of $10,000 in cash money. More than $1 million has been granted since 1998. Anyone can have a dream, and we have three people who do here today. Welcome to Christopher Metcalf, Janet Balcom and Emily Harris. Cool. Well, Christopher, we'll start with you. You're a previous Do Your Thing winner. What did that do for you first time round?
Well, it was a fantastic experience. So when I applied, when I found out that I was a finalist, I was told I was one of the first commercial applicants. So basically, I was applying for a scholarship for my business to help me develop that. Apart from the obvious financial gain of winning the scholarship or winning the $10,000 from it, I think one of the main things for me was it was verification that what I was doing was something on the right track.
Because you're commercial with a difference, we should make clear. It's sustainable design. Explain that.
Okay, so I graduated with a Bachelor of Product Design, and then basically my final project at at Unitech in Auckland was essentially my first commercial product. So from the day after the exhibition, I had it into stores. So essentially, to explain it, one of my first products was a fruit bowl that expands when you put fruit into it. It's designed using kind of sustainable techniques, so using basically dematerialization, so you're using a lot less material, cold construction methods, so it can be taken apart and put back together if anything does break.
Is that a part of your education in design these days? A component of good design is for it to be
I think you're exactly right. You know, no one's going to go out and buy something because it is a sustainable design. Let's take a doorstop, for example. You know, if I came and said, hey, let's design a sustainable doorstop, I'll just give you a log. That's probably the most sustainable way to do it. But it's about being smarter, I guess. Like, and you can't really separate sustainable design from design anymore. It just all becomes into good design. These are things that you need to consider along the way. So looking at the life cycle of a product, how something's made, how you even get it to the end consumer, you know, these are all things that play a part into it. Some people as well, I guess, they can really, really get kind of quite hung up on it. And it's one of those things, you know, if you look too close, you actually realise there's a lot more that you don't know about things.
Is sustainable design a movement? Are there rock stars in sustainable design?
Well, you've got kind of rock stars. And
we may be talking to one of them, Russell.
Yes,
right.
Oh,
now. Well, who knows? Hopefully one day. I think being a good designer or a great designer is a better kind of the way forward for it because, you know, to have all those things in it, sustainability is a core component of that. And I think these days, if you're not thinking about the sustainable values of your products, then you're just missing the point.
Great, Christopher. Thank you. Now, look, we've got two hopefuls sitting here with us. Janet, you've got a very interesting personal story as to why you'd like to be this year's winner. Is that correct? Tell us about that.
It is very interesting. That's a good word for it.
That's what we call it, a euphemism.
Yeah. I call it an odyssey, the story. It's just the true story of my journey to date and that's basically, as either Chris or Emily pointed out earlier, it's like a combo of outrageous fortune and The Exorcist or Paranormal Activity.
Tell us about it.
Well, it was basically country girl goes to the city, meets hell on wheels, and I ended up being basically with a pea outlaw, a pea cook for about 11 years. And, you know, he didn't start off like that. It was just a gradual process of evolution over our relationship. And so he ended up in jail twice and then was getting ready to go again by the end when we were coming to the end of our relationship. But it was basically, I hit the bottom. Basically, it was couldn't go one more day looking after myself and our son, who was one then. So I had to do the SOS call to mum and dad came and scooped me up off the floor and took me home. And I said to my partner, well, we'll see you in a few days when I'm better, and never went back. So it took me 2 years to actually recover to
and
get
so
back on the road again.
You're now telling that story.
I'm telling my story. It's not my idea. That was God's idea. Back in 2001, he told me then that was what he wanted me to do. And then it's been a process of recovery, of finding out who I am, who God is, and writing, working, and now I'm studying to become a counsellor.
And that's the end to what you do your thing.
It's my heart
becoming a counsellor and helping other people.
It's my heart to help people who are stuck in dark, hard areas, which could either be addiction or any type of low self-esteem, incarceration.
Look, fantastic. Okay, and finally, joining us today, we've got Emily Harris. Now, your thing is creating gardens on rooftops, presumably not like rooftops like my house and stuff. I've already got a few things growing on my rooftop, but that's the sort of thing that I've got to get out on the weekends and clear off. You more intentional sort of things.
Yes, I want to make use of underutilised urban spaces for people to grow food.
Is this, I mean, specifically in New Zealand, in Auckland? I mean, where do you see this happening? Because obviously overseas, there, various cities have a lot more rooftop space than we do here, don't we?
Sure, yep. First Auckland, then the rest of the world.
Do you know how much rooftop space is there in Auckland that could be used? Because we don't tend to have a lot of flat roofs.
You'd be surprised. There's quite a few around, especially on older buildings, and new buildings can incorporate spaces that can be used for food growing.
So what are you intending to do if you win the prize, if you win the $10,000 grant? What would you like to use it for?
I'd like to use it to get started and set up a first communal garden on an apartment building. So I'd like to use it to purchase materials and so on to set that up, just basically to show what can be done. And from then on in, I would like to move into a sustainable business in that area.
What sort of space do you need? Say you've got an apartment that's got hundreds of people living it and it's got a roof the size. Can you feed everyone with what's going to be on the top of that roof?
No, you can't feed a whole huge apartment tower with growing food on the roof, but it's about getting some people involved in the growing process, getting people more in touch with where their food comes from and just giving them an opportunity to be hands-on with that.
What works well in rooftop gardens? What kind of plants are the best ones to grow?
Things that like warmth and don't need too much water, really, but you can really grow anything up there if you look after it properly.
How do you look after them? What's the key?
Love. You've got to talk to your plants. No. Just make sure they get enough water up there and don't get blown over by the crazy winds we get from time to time.
Where did you find this interest? I mean, do you work on other sort of similar sort of projects, such as the people that go around and find fruit trees in parks and sort of use those to their advantage? That sort of urban. Living off what's around you?
Well, I've been inspired by community gardens, which we've got a few of already in Auckland, and living in the city centre myself, just knowing what a benefit it would be to have some green space to have access to. It's not necessarily just about growing the food, it's about bringing people together to form a community, which is quite often lacking in the central city at the moment.
It's very sort of thing that's quite popular in parts of like Manhattan and so forth, isn't it? You get a lot of these community gardens on where everyone lives in these buildings that have flat roofs. Have you been over there and sort of seen what they're doing there?
No, I haven't had that research trip yet. Would love to at some stage. But yeah, I've been inspired by the amazing things that people are doing in other cities overseas.
Look, finally, Christopher, any advice for these two in terms of how to up their chances or how to react once they do win?
Oh, I think in the end of the day, if they believe you are really genuine about what you're doing, they'll give you a hand up, really. They're all about kind of helping people achieve their dreams, so yeah, if you can convince them of that, then yeah, good on you.
Well, fantastic. Good luck to the two aspirants, and thanks very much for coming in, all three of you.
You can find out more at doyourthing.co.nz. And after the break, Julia Deans.